certainly this morning, I'm glad that He knows our voice. You know, the Bible said that we have this confidence that when we pray, He heareth us. Whenever our children were young, and especially my little girl, a little different with a little girl in some ways, but you know, when she would cry, and it was that way with Hunter too, you know, I could tell their voice from any other child. They could be somewhere and they could cry out, "Daddy," and immediately I knew that it was them. And the first thing you do is you go running to where they're at. The Bible said that we've been chosen and we have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And there are times that the storm and the waves are heavy and trouble is all around, and I'm glad when I cry out, He knows my voice. And I want to assure you this morning that He knows your voice also. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew in the 14th chapter. And again, we're on the Sea of Galilee, just as we sung. Now remember, in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, they find themselves on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is in the ship in the hinder part, asleep, and they awaken Him out of His sleep and say, "Master, carest not that we perish." He said, "O thou of little faith," and stood to the stern and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace be still." And there was a great calm. Here we see in this 14th chapter that He's fed the 5,000 with a miraculous move of God. A few loaves and a few fishes, 5,000 are fed. That's not including the women and the children, and they take up the 12 baskets. And now the Lord tells the disciples in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now tossed in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." That word spirit meaning a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to You this morning, in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that be in the name of Jesus. Father, we're so thankful that, God, no matter where we find ourselves in the sea of life, God, we can cry out and You hear our cries. God, my prayer this morning is for that one that, Lord, is tossed in a tempest. Lord, that one that, God, has gotten news that has caused them to fear. And Lord, certainly, God, those that are troubled and in the midst of the storm. Father, I'm glad the waves that crash around us, Jesus, they're under Your feet. Those things that concern us and that cause trouble, Lord, that make us sore afraid, I'm so glad that they're under Your feet and that You're able this morning to bring peace to the hearts and the soul of men and women, boys and girls. And I'm so glad in my storm I'm not left there desolate and alone, but You come to me and You're able, Lord, to bring peace to my situation. God, I believe You can do that very thing this morning. Lord, speak to us from Your word. Holy Ghost of God, forgive me for the times that, Lord, I sin in the times that, Lord, I grieve you. And Lord, I just pray this morning, forgive me of my sin, Lord, that I might be able to preach a message from heaven that might draw the souls of men and women, boys and girls, to be closer to the Master. God, if you'll do this, we'll give you the honor and the credit and the glory, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. In the 8th chapter in that first story, Jesus was with them in the ship. And they awoke him out of his sleep, and he went and spoke peace unto that of the storm, and it ceased. But here in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, they're out on the Sea of Galilee again, and Jesus is away from them on the mountain or in the mountain, and he's praying. And if you'll read the Gospel of Luke concerning this story, when they get in the midst of the storm, the Bible says, and he saw them. And I'm glad this morning that no matter what storm we find ourselves in or where we find ourselves, he sees us where we're at. Now I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, we can put on a face that everything is all right. We can pretend and say that I'm well and all is well. But God knows this morning whether or not we truly have his peace in our heart, and whether we're walking in the peace of Almighty God, there is still a peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that comes to you in a time when the storm is raging and everything around you says you ought to be fearing, but somehow, some way, the peace of God wells up in your soul, and in a time that you ought to be troubled, you have peace. Now, I'm glad this morning. I can't explain to you this peace. All I can tell you is, once you have it, you'll never forget it, and you'll thank God for it. And so here they are. They're out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and the winds have arose, and the Bible said there was a contrary wind. Now I want you to understand, in that day, they had two types of boats. Either you had a boat with oars that rowed, or you had a sailboat. And most of the boats in that day, they had a sail. And he set them out about dusk of one afternoon. He sends the people away, and the sun is sinking low, and it's becoming dark, and they get caught in a contrary wind. They want to go to the other side, but they're not able to go because the wind is pushing in the other direction. Let me say this morning. There's always going to be a contrary wind to the child of God. We're living in a world and a society that for the most part has turned its back on God. And it's not going to be easy to make it to the other side. But the day God saved my soul, the day he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I purposed in my mind and in my heart, some way, somehow, I'm going to make it to the other side. Oh, and this morning what we need in the house of God is a people that have purpose in their heart. They'll do whatever it takes to get to the other side, and not only to go, but to take all who'll go with us. And so they're in that contrary wind. We're talking about sailors, fishermen, men that knew how to deal with wind and how to deal with a storm. And now the winds have assailed, and they're fighting, and they have fought for about 10 hours, and they've gotten nowhere. Is there anybody else in the house of God that's like this preacher before you? I find my life so often is one step forward and two steps back. I've got a desire in my heart to serve the Lord, and I start going forward and in his will, and then something happens and I find myself regressing and going backward. Tell me, I'm not by myself. I want you to know this morning, listen, church is not for perfect people. But there is a perfect God that formed an entity called the church, made of imperfect people, that we might come together and find strength in the Lord together. See, the truth of the matter is simply this. All of us at times face storms in our lives. And so here they are, caught in the midst of the storm, and they're doing all they can to get through to the other side. And Jesus is watching them. And here they are, they've toiled and they've worked and they've labored and they're getting nowhere. Have you ever felt like you were laboring for God and you were laboring in your life and you just couldn't get nowhere? Is there anybody else in the house of God that feels like your spiritual life from time to time don't get any traction and it's like you're going nowhere fast? Good, I'm in a house of brothers and sisters. At least we're honest about it, right? They're getting nowhere fast. And they're just about ready to give up. Have you ever got tired and wanted to give up and said, Lord, it's just, there's nobody else working like I'm working. There's nobody else laboring like I'm laboring. Now, I'm not saying I'm that way here, but I have been to that place in my life. And so they're exhausted. They're about ready to give up. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus walking on the water. And I can see them now. Remember, there are at least 12 of them in the boat, right? And so they're in the boat and somebody says, what is that? What is that over yonder? And he gets a little closer and they're able to see a little more. Why, that's somebody walking on the water. Now listen, they were more superstitious than they were filled with the Spirit. There are a lot of people in the house of God that are more superstitious about the things of God than they are full of the Spirit of God. You know why? They begin to say, well, it must be a ghost or a spirit. Oh, but there was a man by the name of Peter. I believe something down inside him said, I know who that is. That's got to be the Lord. And so Jesus gets a little closer and notice the words of the Lord. It is I. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. It's me. Aren't you glad in the midst of the darkest hour of your life? Oh, is there anybody in the house of God that's been where I've been, that in the darkest hour of your life, when hope was almost gone, at just the right time, the Lord showed up and said, it's me. Be of good cheer. I'm here. I've got this. Oh, be good cheer. It's me. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus simply said, come. Now wait, Peter had already heard this before, because if you remember, earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had said, come unto me all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I believe that when Peter heard him say those words, just the word, come unto me, I believe it stirred the heart of Peter. And now once again, the Lord is saying, come. And what the Lord is saying to you and to I, all of us that are in this sea of life, he's just bidding us to come. This is where the story a lot of times gets turned in one direction. We sit there and we criticize Peter because he steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water and he sees the boisterous winds and the waves and begins to sink. That's not the message I've come to preach. I've come to ask you, what about the other 11 that stayed in the boat? At least he had something down inside of him that was willing to risk his life to get to where Jesus is. I'm telling you, when your desire for Christ is greater than your desire to stay in the boat, when your desire for the will of God and for the love of God is greater than the comfortableness of being in the boat, you'll move toward Christ. We're living in a day and a time. Everybody wants to stay in the boat. Nobody wants to get out and move. Now listen, I understand. I know what the book of Acts says when it says, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. But that's not what we're talking about in this story. In this story, the Lord is outside the boat. And what happens to us as church members, we get so caught up and we put God in the boat. We put our lives in the boat, in the box, and we say, Jesus can't be outside of my little box, or the way that I think, or the way that I've learned. And Jesus is out there saying, come. Oh, it ain't an amen message. out of 12 men, there was but one that had the desire to leave the safety of the boat and get to where Jesus was. Whenever your love for Him is greater than your desire for comfortability and safety, you know what I believe happened? If you'll permit me this morning, listen, I believe with all that within me is, when Jesus said, come, something in the heart of Peter welled up. I believe when Jesus said, come, I believe his heart began to pound in his chest, because the Holy Ghost of God is a quickening spirit. And he said, you know what? If that's where he's at, that's where I want to be. I'd rather be with him in the midst of the ocean than to be in this boat with everybody else. And let me tell you this. The reason the church is losing its power is everybody is in the same boat. And God is saying, will somebody love Jesus enough just to get out of the boat? I'm not talking about annulling our traditions. I'm not talking about changing what we believe. I'm talking about opening our heart and responding to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. 11 men sat comfortably in the boat. Let's talk about those men for just a little while. Give me just a minute. Well, let's talk about Judas Iscariot. He was in there, wasn't he? You know why Judas didn't get out of the boat? Because there wasn't no money in it. See, he was a man that sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. There ain't no money in this. Let me tell you, there are people in the body of Christ that are serving God for no other reason than for financial gain and what God can give them in their bank account. I'm telling you, that is a corrupt theology. It's wrong on every account. I'd rather be a broke, poor man and have Jesus than to have the riches of this world and die lost and undone. Oh. Years ago, me and Keenan and the kids were going to the circus, and we got on the MARTA train. And we're on our way back. There was this black man, had a bag with the shoes in it across his back, and that was the happiest, sweetest looking man I ever seen in my life. And the Lord said, slide over and talk to that man. And I slid over there. I said, brother, I notice you sure do look happy. He said, oh, I am. I said, you care to tell me what's going on? Why are you happy? He said, well, I was a rich man one time, a butcher in Atlanta, made a lot of money. He said, I got addicted to alcohol and drugs, and I lost my family. I lost my business, and I lost my family. I lost my sons. I've lost everything. He said, all I've got is these shoes in this bag across my back. He said, but about 2 weeks ago, I stumbled in an alcoholic into a safe house, and a man there told me about a man named Jesus. He said, all I've got is these shoes on my back. He said, but I'm happier than I've ever been. He said, I believe with all that within me is, I'm a child of God. And I put my arms around his neck, tears running down our face. I said, brother, you are rich. And these little old black ladies, sweetest thing. I could hear them over, amen, amen, oh, amen. And when we left and got off that train, this is what was said by those sweet little ladies. If we had a little more of this, this world wouldn't be what it's in, the trouble and in the shape that it's in. I'm telling you, the love of God don't care about the color of your skin. The love of God don't care about where you come from and what your experience is. The love of God can reach down to where anybody's at. And if we've got that in common, we've got all things in common. Judas said, I ain't getting out of the boat. It ain't gonna profit me none. What about old Thomas? Lord, there I am in the Bible. That's my man right there. Old Doubting Thomas, that's me. My family tell you that. Thomas says, you know what? I ain't risking my life to try to walk on the water. Why, I don't even know if the Lord's able to keep me upright or not. But I know this, I'm not going. You know what? That's the attitude of so many people in the modern day church. They look out and look at what God can't do and what the church can't do. Can't, never, could. But with God, all things are possible. The Apostle Paul believed that so much. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of y'all signed your name beside that scripture. A lot of y'all claim that for your own. Well, let's look at some of the others. There's Bartholomew. There's Matthew. There's a multitude. About six of these men. Let me tell you what they were looking for. They weren't looking for a Savior. They were looking for a king to restore Israel. They were looking for a kingdom on this side. Listen, there are a lot of people today, they're looking for the kingdom of God to be set up on this side. Let me tell you something about that. God has set up a kingdom, but it's in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. You want to see the kingdom of God? Grab a hold of your brother, grab a hold of your sister, and love them with the love of God. They were looking for a kingdom. Dad, listen, now here's where Russell gets in trouble. I want God to change. Anybody want this country to change? Anybody want to go back to what we were? Go back to the spiritual heritage that we, when those old Puritans come down those mountains, and I know they had their ways, but man, I'm telling you, they loved Jesus. Listen, they kept themselves close to the cross. They knew, listen, that the power was in the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, we're descendants. We followed Him. We've got a hold of that trail of blood, and it's marked our lives and changed who we are. Listen, I want to tell you something. I'm not looking for the kingdom down here. I'm looking for the kingdom that is to come. I'm still in the sea of life, rowing my guts out. But by the grace of God, I'm going to the other side. They were rowing against the contrary, or sailing against the contrary wind. Y'all believe that? Now what the Bible said? The book of Ezekiel, 37th chapter. God speaks to the wind from the four corners of the earth and says, blow. And He begins to draw all the people of God to Himself. I'm telling you, listen, one day the dead in Christ are going to rise and the Spirit of God's going to move everybody. We're not just moving east-west. We're moving north. We're going up. The chariot of the north's going to swing south, as Brother Brody said. And we're going home to be with the Lord. But they were looking for a kingdom down here. I'm going to tell you something. Does anybody know? Does anybody find some joy in this life? No, wait a minute. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul said, and always rejoice. There's some joy. Well, I love my wife and my children, my friends. I love this time that we have together. There's joy in the Lord. In one place, the Word of God said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So there is joy, but I'm going to tell you, the only true lasting joy comes from being born again of the Spirit of God, being filled with His Spirit, being able to feel the moving of His Spirit. And so there were about half of them that were just looking for a kingdom down here. They were followers in that group on the boat. If 50% of them would have jumped out, maybe the other half would have come on with them. I'm going to tell you, if you are a follower, stop being a follower. Make your own way. Follow Jesus. You know what? People, a lot of times, are going to follow the Lord when it's expedient for them. You ever notice that? But when it gets hard, a friend will be a friend to you when everything's easy and going good. Let things get tough. Let everybody turn against you. Then you really find out who's on your side. They were followers. Nobody wanted to follow Peter. What about James and John? These men that love the Lord. Why didn't they move? Why were they still on board? I'll tell you why they were on board. They didn't have their mama there to argue and say, Lord, I want him to sit on your right and him to sit on your left. I'm telling you, I'm not following my mama. I'm following Jesus. I know that was coming. But let's go back to the old disciple by the name of Peter. See, this man in the 16th chapter is going to say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. This is a man, because of his love for Jesus and his desire for Jesus, God was going to give him some revelation. I'm telling you, listen, the people perish because they don't have a vision. If you go where Jesus is, you'll find a strength and you'll find a vision to serve him in purity, purpose, and power. Or just stay in the boat. Just stay in the boat. Be comfortable. Everything around us is turned upside down. People around us are dying without Christ. Just stay in. That's what old Satan will whisper. Just stay in the boat. It's comfortable there. You don't have to stretch yourself beyond what you already know. Just stay in the boat. It's comfortable. You know in the boat you're going to be saved. I would rather die in the waves of the sea with Jesus than to stay in the boat. Well, he got to looking around him, didn't he? Let me tell you this. We walk by. What we walk by? Faith. Come on. And not by? Sight. We walk by? Faith. And not by? Sight. Let me tell you. He started looking around. I'm going to tell you. Sometimes when you look around you, your mind will tell you that everybody else has left God. Your mind will tell you it ain't worth it. Your mind will tell you all kind of garbage. But the carnal mind is enmity with God. It's got its sails up into the contrary wind. And it'll pull you off course in your walk with God. Give me somebody that'll turn their sail toward Jesus. Get a hold of the wind of the Holy Ghost and let her drive. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so excitable, but I'm not ashamed of it. My body hurts all weekend to get to be in the power of God for a little while. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, amen. So he sees the waves and the wind is boisterous and he begins to sink. And as he's going down, he simply says, simplest prayer of prayer, Lord, save me. Three little words, Lord, save me. Anybody in here this morning saved because you was able to say three simple little words from your heart? I don't know. I don't understand it. All I know, when I was praying, I said, Lord, save me. And you know what? I felt something that I'd never felt. I believe I felt what Peter felt when Jesus reached down and picked him up. How did they get back into the boat? You can have it either way. You can say Jesus had him by the hand and they walked together. Or I like this. I believe Jesus carried him. Have you ever been carried by the Lord? Have you ever been down on your luck, down and out, ready to give up, ready to give in, and the grace of God reached down where you are and carry you? Peter, Jesus, get back to the boat, and the wind ceases, and there's a calm. And I can hear Peter say to the other 11, boys, did you see that? Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And to their own shame, all they could do is sit there and say to themselves, I wish I would have stepped out of the boat. I could have felt the same love and power, but I stayed in the boat. Stand to your feet this morning.